Hi, you're listening to the My Body, My Story podcast.
Just continue to bring in the love from the inside, slow down, find peace, and just be grateful for what the body has achieved and can continue to achieve. You know, thank my legs for all those thousands of kilometres for walking around, and my body for creating life and giving birth, and just being so grateful for it and not losing the small little moments because it goes so quickly.
This is the 45 over 45 chapter where we celebrate rule breakers and role models, the women who inspire us to live life our way and to show their sensuality, beauty, soul, and true essence. Here, we talk about what it's like to be 45 plus, adjusting to the changes that come with time, and we listen to the stories of our participants. If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the My Body, My Story project. And today with us in the studio, Anna. And while she's sitting in the makeup chair, I'll be asking her a few questions. Morning, Anna. Welcome to the studio.
Morning. Thank you so much.
And let's start. And tell us 10 facts about yourself.
10 facts. Well, I am 52 for turning 53 this year, and I have a teenage daughter. People ask me what I do, and I say I work across three professions plus one, but they're all very aligned. I work what I call in the human connection business, which I'm an art therapist, and I work from a psychotherapeutic perspective where I try to help people through the art process connect with, you know, what's happening for them in the world in a very integrative, holistic way, coming in, finding their creative spirit. I also lecture. I teach as part of the Bachelor of Art Therapy and Bachelor of Counselling and Psychotherapy courses. And I've also been a qualitative researcher for about 25 years. So it's all about understanding the essence of who someone is and helping them and facilitate them to find that in themselves. And for the last 10 years, I celebrated my 10-year anniversary last year. My side hustle is Mama Creatives, and that is a community for creative mothers, but now creative women, helping them find their voice, sharing their stories, celebrating creativity. I think we all have that at our core. And I've grown that from a few friends to a few thousand. And I've done many, many events of all types. And I just love it. I love finding, helping someone find their story and sharing it, validating it, acknowledging it, and helping them build their confidence. And I think that's across all the things that I do.
So if someone wants to find you, where they can, where, do you have social media profiles, website?
It's all mamacreatives.com or on Facebook or on Instagram. I'm not great on social media, but I do have stuff there that people can see, and the website has a lot of videos and a lot of information. I've also done an online course called Your Creative Awakening through Mama Creatives, which is a 10-week online experience. And it's live, and I've spent a year developing that, and I always revise it. And that is also about really getting, peeling back the layers and helping people discover their creativity under all the self-limiting beliefs and the blocks, and we find it through there, and we go through all different things. And I just love all those things, working with women in midlife. I've worked with children and families from domestic violence. I work in a hospital with people recovering from addictions and mood disorders and in aged care as well. And I think when you work in aged care, you see when people haven't connected with their creative spirit and lived the life that they want, they live in a life of regret. And at the end of their life, they are grieving. And the grief is so extreme that it actually affects their nervous system and their collapse. And then they're grieving the life they wish they had. And I think that has taught me a lot about living for now and really being embodied and present with what you have, because I see it at the other end. When you don't live that life, it's a life of waste and disappointment, and it shows up in the body, and people end up in hospital and they are just like a ghost. And so what I try to do with all my work is to find the energy and the life force and that dynamism of the art of living.
Just before we move to the body question, body image questions, I want to dig a bit more into your personality and get more facts about you. So you were born in Australia?
Yes, in Sydney.
In Sydney, so all your life you lived here?
No, I've lived overseas. I lived in London for nearly 2 years. I lived in Paris, which was always my dream in my 20s. I also lived in Madrid for 3.5 years. My ex-husband's Spanish, so we went off for a 12-month adventure and stayed 3.5 years.
Wow.
Came back plus one when our baby was born in Madrid. He's now nearly 15. And I've also lived in Melbourne, where I went 20 years ago to do my Master's of Art Therapy, because the course at La Trobe is where I wanted to do it. So I just packed everything up, drove my car down to Melbourne, and I did that for that course. I lived there for three and a half years.
So what's your favorite place on earth at the moment? It may change with time.
I have to be honest, after living in all these places, Paris is very romantic, but to live there and to live in Europe, it's so hard. Mm. I would have to say Sydney is the best place. I live near the beach. I have a fantastic lifestyle. I am so grateful every single day. I go for a walk on the beach every day because I know what it's like not to live with air and fresh air and water and an ocean breeze. Mm-hmm. Living in Madrid, we didn't have that. Living in all these different places, I think it makes you appreciate what you have right at home. And I absolutely love living in Sydney. We are so lucky to live here.
What's your favorite cuisine?
My favorite cuisine? I'd have to say Vietnamese.
Wow. Unexpectedly.
You can't get better than a big bowl of pho.
Yeah.
And the flavors are just delicious. They can be, it's just a delicious palate on your, you know, in your mouth with the different chili. And I just love Thai food and Vietnamese food.
Excellent. And I know you, I already know, but I will ask so those who are listening to us can also get this information. Your favorite color, you just told me.
Oh, I wear a lot of red. Red is a life force. I feel that it's dynamic, it's energetic. It's not a, you know, if you want to talk about blood, yeah, that's what drives us throughout our body, but that's a very literal way of looking at it. I feel it gives me a lot of energy, and I feel like it kind of suits my colouring. I like to wear red. I've put on red. It's a bit of a power colour. Mm-hmm. I also love a really bright green and mustard, but red, people know me for red. If I'm not wearing red, it's like, who are you? Are you an imposter? Yeah. So red is my signature colour, but I do like to wear other colours as well, but red is, I just feel good in it.
Excellent. And you answer already my next question, why red and what this symbolized to you. And you already said that's okay, perfect. So let's move to aging and body image questions. And what does aging means to you at 52?
It's such a good question. We are obsessed with youth, but I think there is an incredible surge of women late 40s, 50 plus, who are perennials. I think people are getting more empowered and living a great life older. I think this decade of the 50s is an absolute gift for women. I think we're in our prime. Mm-hmm. I think we've let go of a lot of stuff and we're really stepping into who we really are. It's taken all these years. It's kind of an earned power, having been through divorce or long marriage or, you know, the trials and tribulations of life. By this age, I think we just step into this knowing of what it is to be a woman. And I think aging gives us this wisdom, this earned experience, life experience, and letting go of the things that don't serve us. So I think it's a really time to be really strong, mm-hmm. but also very tender and okay with knowing that life is about how do we manage the hard times and appreciating the joy. I think it's a privilege to age. I have some friends who have died in their 40s, and I know many women in their 80s and 90s, and I work with them. And my parents are nearly 90, and my family have longevity, and I just think it's an absolute gift to age. So I think as women, we need to embrace it and not worry about the small things, but mm-hmm. look at the big picture and appreciate and have gratitude for the strength that women have, how many things we have to carry and that we survive, but it's not just surviving, it's there's this real strength and power, I think, to women as we age. And I like to step more into that, and I like to support that in other women too.
But if you could go back to any age, what age it would be? Why? And what advice would you give yourself?
I thought about this. I could think about every decade and give myself advice, especially with a teenage daughter. I'm thinking, you know, in your 20s, I don't know about other people, but my body was absolutely amazing. I still look good, but I had the most amazing figure, but I didn't appreciate it. So in my 20s, I would say to myself is learn to be connected to who you are, be really, really connected and embodied in yourself, in your skin. Mm-hmm. Be comfortable in your skin. You don't need to wait till you're 50 to be comfortable in your skin. Learn to be attuned to the niggles, to the triggers earlier. And so then you can be really present and meet people and have relationships at that higher level. And in my 30s and 40s, when I was married, I had a lot of good times. But again, it was such a blur having a child and moving countries and all those things. I would say be kinder to yourself and put yourself first a bit more. You need to take up space, and that's okay.
Yeah. So let's move to body image questions. And if your body could talk, what do you think it would ask you or tell you? Again, at this age,
just continue to bring in the love from the inside, slow down, find peace, and just be grateful for what the body has achieved and can continue to achieve. You know, thank my legs for all those thousands of kilometers for walking around, and my body for creating life and giving birth, and just being so grateful for it and not losing the small little moments, because it goes so quickly. I talked about my 20s, 30s, 40s. I was in incredible shape, looked fantastic. I didn't appreciate it. And I think it's about really appreciating from the inside how much the body teaches you. There's so much wisdom in the body. We've learned a lot from trauma is stored in the body with a lot of the research now. And we need to be paying attention to that, not the superficial parts, but the inner wisdom of what the body can tell us, and not miss those cues. If you're not well, don't push through. Go and lie down. Pay attention to that. Go and get it checked. Don't wait. Don't be afraid. Your body is telling you something. Until then, you create sickness. You've got to slow down and really, really pay attention. And I think learn to love from the inside. I think it can go a long way.
Mm. So what do you think are the main causes of body image issues?
Well, we'd have to go, these days, social media. We'd have to go to social cultural expectations on women, which have always been there, but they're absolutely on steroids at the moment, with just so much access to people living these perceived perfect existences with filters. But it's not real. I think the concern is reality versus superficial fantasy, and people chasing this fantasy is causing a lot, you know, an increase in anxiety and depression and suicide. So I think we need to, I don't know how, we need to have more education around social media and the reality behind that. But when you're younger, teenagers, they all want to belong and look like each other, and so it's a very, very deeply entrenched concern. And I think parents need to be educated, and I think they're trying. And we need to go into just a broader social responsibility on educating younger people on body image.
But why do you think it's created on the first place? Like, does somebody created this kind of image? Why people create this?
Well, if you want to get into it, I would say the patriarchy. And the patriarchy isn't blaming men. The patriarchy is a system for where you need to belong within a structure. And I think I've seen women break through that, and I feel like it's coming through. But there's this expectation of how we are meant to look within a patriarchy. If we go back to...
To do what? Like, to look for what?
I'll give you an example. It may not be exactly to the question, but if I think about mother guilt, I think mother guilt is a construct that was created to keep women out of power. So if you are, so women used to not work, they used to raise children, which is a lot, which is a full-time job. That's enough. Being a mother and at home is absolutely respected. It's a hard job. But if women wanted to work as well, there was the invention of mother guilt. There's no father guilt. Not to say that fathers don't feel guilty for going to work, but the expectation is that women shouldn't go to work. And so there was this invention of mother guilt, which there's nothing wrong to long for your child or feel sad or miss your child, but going out and earning a living, getting independent, making money, having more power, that's a real direct, confrontation to the male dominance. And so if women started to get more money and more independence and more power and more control, then that's a concern to the patriarchy. And so the mother guilt is a construct within that patriarchy where men have more power and women stay home. And I think we've evolved from that, but I do think there's something around that in terms of why does it exist? It exists in these bigger structures. Mm-hmm. And if you dare to criticize or break free from that and try to get your own independence and power, then it mucks up the status quo, which isn't a healthy foundation at all for creating a healthy body image. So we attack women how they look, we attack women in their relationships, we attack women when every time they try to make more money or get more independent or try to challenge. And so there's this, it's a power, it's a power struggle in the dynamic. And I'm not just saying men and women, but I do believe there is this power imbalance.
So how do you think that negative body image can affect relationships?
Well, I think it goes into the power imbalance. It continues to make women second guess. So it's a real type of gaslighting. And rather than appreciating and loving everything that a woman does and brings, it's this critical power play. And I think people who criticize are actually very insecure in themselves. And so it's a projection. So you can take it from the individual, but collectively it becomes online bullying and harassment. But if we take it within the individual relationships, it's a way of not empowering women. It's the opposite. Mm. So it's a very unhealthy, toxic, very immature child state to keep women in a negative stance within a relationship. There's no growth. There's no transformation. There's no maturity. I think we're having a real problem in society at the moment with this very childlike, very immature lack of emotional intelligence. And so staying within that state keeps women down. And I think the body is a really easy way, really easy target. And women are very vulnerable to that. And so it comes from generations of having to perform and expectations of how we should look in the media and pornography now.
Yeah,
it's all around us. So I think we need to support each other and bring each other up.
So how do you overcome these body-related insecurities when and if they come up? And has it changed with age? Like, before you were younger?
Yeah.
It's, you use something different than it's now from, the approach is different from current approach.
I think I've learned over the years to be really comfortable in myself. I have a confidence, an inner confidence. So I don't sort of pick on my thighs and go, oh, my thighs aren't perfect. I've learned to not have negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very comfortable in myself. So I'm very positive about myself. I don't tend to pick on that I'm not perfect this or perfect that, which is what I did when I was younger, when I actually was pretty ideal if I think about it.
Yeah.
But at the time I would find, oh, this isn't that or this isn't that. I didn't have the weight that I wanted, but I always had an incredible figure. So it was just, it comes from childhood. If your parents or society makes a comment, we generally at a very vulnerable age might internalize that, and then it becomes a bigger thing, and then it becomes a story. It becomes a narrative that's not true, but we hold on to it.
Yeah.
Until we call it doing the work, where you learn to change the narrative. And I think, being a therapist, I've done years of stuff around all of this. And so, during my 20s, I had an eating disorder for 11 years, which I forgot I even had, but I don't even think about it. So I was able to reframe that and heal from that and not think like that at all. And so I think it's a philosophy of how do we, it's not just how we look, it's how we live our lives, the relationships we have, whether we have healthy relationships, whether we have long friendships, whether we love the work that we do, whether we make time for movement. Taking time to slow down and nurture and cook food and make food that's good for you. So it's this whole philosophy of wellness, I think, without being toxic, the whole toxic wellness, which can go a whole other aggressive way. I think it's slowing down and being really authentic and being really attuned to what works for you. And I think, so it's all those things. It's not just how you look, but it's how you feed yourself in all those ways, not just through food.
Yeah. Excellent. So my last question is, what is your favorite saying about being a woman?
Well, that was such a good question, and I have to say I have a few, so you might want to edit them out. But I had a couple that go that I share with my community, Mama Creatives, which is for all women. But I always say your story matters. Your story matters. And if no one, as a therapist, the one thing that people want and don't have is someone to sit and listen and just be with them and validate them. So that's a really important one that I share with some of my events. And I also love, you know, empowered women empower women. It's very simple. If we are there to hold each other up, not bring each other down, it's just we can do anything. So there are a couple that I really love for my community and for all women, but here are a couple that I love personally. And here is one. If it doesn't bring you energy, inspiration, or orgasm, it doesn't belong in your life. And this is another one. This is from a friend of mine who's an artist, Emma Magenta. Remember, if you're too much for someone, they're not enough for you. And then I have, I'm going to end on this one and people can think about it. And if I asked you to name all the things that you love, how long would it take for you to name yourself?
I have goosebumps. Thank you, Anna. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and such a meaningful conversation. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you will enjoy the rest of the day and your photo shoot.
Thank you for what you're doing. You're empowering women with this whole experience. It's really a great project. Thank you. I'm honored to be part of it.
If you have an interesting story, we'd love for you to participate. You can email us at info@alexandrawalker.com. That's Alexandra spelt with a K-S. Or visit our website, alexandrawalker.com.